News with the Business Bunker.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 16th of September. And you are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the famous Joe Dodds.
Hello.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. It's very exciting to be here.
I haven't seen you for ages.
When will it be? I mean, well, I don't. Have I even done anything this year?
No.
No, not even Little Dodds' birthday.
Missed Little Dodds' birthday, which was a bit of a
Turkey.
Tradition at one stage, wasn't it?
It was, but we were actually in Turkey, so I'm sorry.
We have a fairly substantial listening base in Turkey, I'll have you know, young lady.
Oh, wow, there you go. We could have done a on-location.
You should have done. We do have listeners all over the world now. In Turkey, we have regular listeners, as we do in Washington, D.C. Hello, Liz. And also in Luxembourg and Los Angeles. As well as Maidstone,
of course. Of course, that's right. And Hythe.
Yeah, and Hythe.
So what have I missed?
Oh, quite a bit, yeah. It's been going well. We got rid of Jules for this week. She's on her 9th holiday of the summer. She was tweeting in earlier, and she was 4 bottles of Cava down at breakfast.
Yes.
So she's probably just sobering up a little bit for lunch now.
I chose the wrong thing. I said sangria. Apparently there's a story there about her 20s. She doesn't
do
sangria anymore.
You should have known that. Yeah. You know, with Jules, there's always a story, really, isn't there?
Yeah. Yes, but anyway. I thought it was something like the Cava or something. Yes, definitely.
Cool. Anyway, we've got a packed show for you today. Unfortunately, Stuart Carpenter, who was due to be with us, can't be with us today due to family reasons, but he will come back on at a later date. But we've got some fabulous guests to talk to later on in the show anyway, the lovely Harriet and Natalie, who are going to be talking to us about their new business later on in the show, and it's going to be good to catch up with Joe. But in the meantime, we'd like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998 01303 874 998, or you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk, or by far and away the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. We have already had about 40 tweets in, and we will be reading some of those, and we've got loads of emails and stuff like that. So I think, you know, Joe, I think what we'll do is we'll kick off with an email. What do you reckon?
Okay, good plan. I'll see if I can do
before
this.
You do that. I ought to give a mention to this week's show sponsor.
Yes, we've
got a new show sponsor starting this week, Phoenix Analysts Limited, and they're a limited company with over 10 years of combined experience that specialise in business analysis, transformation, feasibility studies, commissioning and procurement. And one of the key aspects of their work is to identify potential for improving levels of efficiencies, whether this be in business practices, current procedures, or getting better use out of IT systems, identifying cost savings and potential loss of revenue. So that's Phoenix Analysts Limited, and you can find out more about them by visiting their website, which is www.phoenixanalystslimited, and that's the whole word, LIMITED, phoenixanalystslimited.com.
I think they should continue to sponsor this show, because it's quite hilarious listening to you reading that out.
Yeah, I was struggling with Phoenix.
It wasn't just that. There were lots of nice words like analysis and things like that that I thought were quite entertaining as well. So, Phoenix.
Oh, good.
Phoenix, could you sponsor again, please?
I can do comedy readouts of sponsorships. Go on, read an email. Stop giving me trouble.
I know, I've started. So, something that's happening as we speak, actually, 15th to the 19th of September in Royal Victoria Place, Tunbridge Wells. It's Route to Employment Provider Target Your Potential is coming to Tunbridge Wells with a new innovative and interactively, is that a word? Interactively engaging event.
I don't know, you're reading it. You were moaning about my reading earlier. You can cope with it. I have to read what's in front of me, so do you. That's the problem. I just read it out.
So it's an interactively engaging event this autumn to help link recruiting employers to talented new employees. So it's saying get your business involved, interacting with people who have a genuine interest in your industry, exposure within an environment that has an extensive footfall, connecting face-to-face with potential recruits, increasing the amount of successful apprenticeship take-ups. That'll teach me.
See, it's not as easy as you think, is it? Yeah.
So it says ICT, construction, music and creativity, catering and retail. So I think it must be some sort of a careers fair.
It is indeed.
Yes.
It's a careers. I know, because I happened to open it yesterday and I was there.
I'm glad you're sort of adding to this, because I was just doing a sort of, you know, guess what it is.
No,
tell what it is?
Basically, what they've got is a pop-up shop in the Royal Victoria Shopping Arcade in Tunbridge Wells. And the pop-up shop is between Topshop and Monsoon on the lower level. And if you go in there, they've got loads of people. They've got the Kent Foundation, they've got runway training, they've got Burning to Learn, I'm trying to think who else is there, Bob Clubs, Angle Fix. There's a number of organisations there, and the Kent Foundation, that was who I was trying to think of. There's a number of organisations there providing information, mentoring and support, looking at various aspects of different careers and helping people to figure out how to get into the world of work. Just pop in and talk to people.
Good.
So get along there. If you're looking for your first job, you just left school, college or university, get down to the shopping centre. Mm. You're probably there already anyway, aren't you? That's where they normally hang out, isn't it?
Cool. Good. Okay, good.
I've got an announcement to read out. It's with great regret, but due to unforeseen circumstances, the Eden Valley Business Show, which was due to take place this Thursday, the 18th of September, has been cancelled due to unforeseen circumstances. But please note, the Eden Valley Chamber do hold monthly networking events around the Eden Valley area, and anyone who would like to be included on the mailing list should send an email to networking@EdenValleyB2B, that's B number 2B, EdenValleyB2B.co.uk. So if you'd like to get on that mailing list for the Eden Valley over there in West Kent, Edenbridge area, do drop an email to networking@EdenValleyB2B.co.uk. As always, everything you hear about on the show today, you will find a link on the Kent Business Radio website. We will put all the links up so that you don't have to write them down while we're talking about them. You can go to the website, find the links under today's show, and today's show is number 191. That's not 191 shows we've done. We've actually done 291. We've done 291. It's just I started the numbering again. I got bored at one stage with the way I numbered them, so I started from zero again after the second year. Because we've been going 5 years now.
So what happens when you have two shows with the same number then?
No. We had completely different numbering scheme before.
Oh, okay. One that didn't make sense, you mean?
Yeah, one, it was nonsensical. And when it got to quite a few shows, it was just getting onerous. So yeah. I just started from zero, basically.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm like that.
Yeah.
I'm edgy. And I just don't care.
Shall I do another email?
No, I'm going to read a tweet because I'm bored now.
Go on then.
Yeah, we've had a tweet from Claire Reeves. And she says, hi, could you please give me a shout out? I'm a Kent-based professional voiceover artist. Ooh. With clients around the world, corporate films, e-learning and much, much more. And she gives me a second tweet later on. She says, that'll be lovely and smashing, thank you. All my details and show reels can be found on my website, which is Claire Reeves, R-E-E-V-E-S, Claire Reeves, that's C-L-A-R-E, Claire Reeves, voiceovers.com, Claire Reeves, voiceovers.com. So if you're in need of any we're in need of some eloquent speaking.
Perhaps you could give us some coaching.
Yeah.
Was that the one from like ages ago before we started? Because I know somebody said perhaps I could have a mention later, and now I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, what happens is we start to get tweets for the show from about 6 a.m. And then they just build up while we're on air, and then they carry on. We also get a lot of people that tweet after the show's gone off air, which isn't really very useful, but there you go.
No, I know. It was somebody in conversation about Norfolk. Was that the one?
Oh, I did see one about Norfolk. Yeah.
Yes.
Who's that? Somebody's
Karen.
On
Karen. Is that who you just said?
Who?
Karen.
Karen Thomas is from Breathing Shore.
Oh, well, I think she was saying, could you mention
me? Back to insurance, she says, after a fabulous holiday in the Norfolk Broads.
Yes.
That one?
Yes.
No, yeah. I haven't seen it.
Hello, Karen.
Karen Thomas of Breathing Shore is back from a holiday in the Norfolk Broads and would love a shout out on the Business Bunker radio show. And you've just been shouted out.
Yeah.
Breathing Shore. Do give her a follow on the Twitter. I think her website, I'm doing this from memory, is breathingshore.co.uk. But do follow her on the Twitter and find out more about what she does. But Karen organises insurance for small businesses. And very good she is too.
Cool.
And I've also had a tweet from Windmill Veg Box. And they are telling us about an event. And the event that they're telling us about is the Windmill Community Gardens Open Day, which is taking place in Margate this Saturday. And that's from 12 till 4 p.m. And the postcode of where the event is CT93RU. That's the Windmill Community Gardens Open Day, and that's tweeted in by Windmill Veg Box, and you can follow them on the Twitter at Windmill Veg. So there you go.
That's a cool name.
Mm. So you can read an email or a tweet. I shall leave it up to your choice, Jo.
Okay, well, I'll read an email, because I know when I read tweets it annoys you, because I end up jumping around and...
You read from the top of the list,
right.
And I read
and
from the
you
bottom.
You forget that I've read it already, and then you repeat it, and it all goes wrong.
It's a mess.
Exactly. So I'll do an email. So we've got the IOD Kent Let's Get Creative, a creative forum. Kent has always been a centre for creative excellence. Now its place on the international map is assured, with high-profile projects including Paramount Park at Swanscombe and the reimagining of Dreamland Margate. The world's eyes are on Kent and the talent that we have here. 2015 is the year to recognise the amazing diversity and quality of the creative sector in Kent and to enhance the future of the creative economy. So the event is at the Village Hotel in Maidstone on the 25th of September, and it's 5:30 to 7:30. And you can go online for more details and booking. As usual, it's a really long URL, which I won't bother reading out. It'll be on the
We'll put it
notes.
On the website,
but,
yeah.
If you go on the iod.com website, you should be able to look under events and find the Kent Creative Forum.
Cool. Go with another one.
I'll do another one. Part-time Entrepreneurs Network meeting. So, the Part-time Entrepreneurs Network is a network for people pursuing their careers whilst running a business part-time. They can provide help, resources and networking. It's a growing national network of people who meet informally and socially to share experiences, knowledge, contacts and ideas. So the next meeting at the Enterprise Foundation in Maidstone, which is based on the first floor of Medvale House, is on Thursday the 18th of September. So that's this Thursday, isn't it?
It is indeed.
5:30 to 7:30 in the evening. If you want to get more information and more details about the meeting, then you can go to meetup.com. Again, it's a long, complicated one. So
I know. There's got to be an opportunity for someone to put shortened links that are readable.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But yes, meetup.com, it's on there, and it's a part-time entrepreneurs network meeting, so I'm sure you can find it if you don't look on our show page.
Fantastic. I've got an email here that I've just got in, and it's quite a long one, so I'm going to try and paraphrase it as I'm reading it, because I can't read all of it out, but I want to read some of it out. 6 weeks to a better body, the truth. Coming from fab to fab with a better body group. Or going from fab to fab, sorry, I'm trying to read it on a phone as well. Helping clients achieve their goal is nothing new to Chris Wharton and his team at Better Body Shop in Sevenoaks. When he and co-director Jason Crowe first founded the business, it was because they saw some fundamental flaws in the fitness industry. Although the large corporate clubs and gyms were getting the results, with membership sales, members themselves were all too often failing to achieve their own goals. With no governing body for personal trainers, advice and support were a lottery, and too much emphasis was put on complicated machinery. The alternative was simple: a setup that tailored programs to individual clients, putting them first for once. Staff would have to be the best of the best, and only the overqualified would survive their scrutiny. The emphasis was on quality, not quantity or profit. The Better Body Group run a very popular weight loss program called The Truth. The website can be viewed at www.betterbodygroup.co.uk. That's www.betterbodygroup.co.uk. So do take a look at that. There will be a link on the Kempis Radio website, and you can find out all about that organisation and that service over in the Sevenoaks area. Also, next door, Channel Radio here is based at Hagland's Farm down in Burmarsh, and there is a bistro next door called, imaginatively, Katie's Bistro, because it's run by Katie.
And it's a bistro.
And it's a bistro. And it took ages to think that up. But it's a lovely bistro, and they have fabulous food and drink there. And they are staging on Friday the 26th of September a coffee morning. And the coffee morning is in support of Macmillan. So all the proceeds are going to Macmillan Nursing. So do join them for coffee and cake on the morning of Friday the 26th of September at Katie's Bistro, which is at Hagland's Farm, Burmarsh, just outside Dimchurch. So do come along.
And Claire's tweeted us to say that she can help us with any of our tongue twisters.
Who was that?
Claire. You were talking
about we need your help. We need some professionalism around here, Claire. Sorry about that.
And I'm going to jump ahead and annoy you with one of the more recent tweets, which is about the mini snail farm trail.
Oh, right. I was going to read that. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I'm just looking it up on the web because I don't really know what it is.
That's Helen, isn't it?
Yes, it's a crowdfunding campaign for something to do with that. I'm looking up the about. But she says, could she have a mention?
Mm.
So you've got a mention.
Yeah, because Helen's a snail farmer.
Yeah,
Helen's a snail farmer. She farms snails.
Yeah, so What do you do? Buy them to eat? Or for pets?
Well, I hope she doesn't mind me telling you this, but Helen was on Scoff and Quaff, which is a rubbishy old show that's on before this, about food and drink, and Helen was on it a few months ago.
Yeah.
And she arrived with a box, and I said, what you got in there? And she says, snails. Now, I'm partial to a snail.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a bit of garlic butter and a bit of dippy bread. And I thought, oh, this could be good. So I said, oh, can I have one? And she went, yeah. And she opened the box, and they were all alive.
Brilliant. Yeah. Well, did you know... interesting fact I read last night, which I knew would come in handy one day, that if their eyes come off, they can grow a new eye. And the reason I know it is I was at choir practice last night, and I was at a school, and the sign was on the door with some other signs about animals, and it said something like, don't try this at home, but did you know? And I thought, primary school... Tell them that you can, that snails will grow
blind
back.
A snail and they'll grow back.
Yeah,
not good.
I don't think that don't
not
try
good.
This at home bit was going to help, was
nah,
it?
No, not good.
But there you go.
Mm.
But if you're going to eat them, I suppose it doesn't matter, does it? But what is she doing with them? Is she using them for, what? Tell me, come on, Paul.
Well, she farms snails.
Yeah,
I don't know what the crowdfunding is, because you're the one that's reading it, not
yes.
me.
Yeah, I think the idea is you get them as pets. You don't eat them.
Right, okay.
Paul, okay?
Yeah, okay.
It says maybe you get a mini snail
maybe we're
farm.
Just being greedy.
You get 6 baby snails in a mini snail farm with housing, bedding, food and care instructions.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's so cool. Little Dodsy wanted an ant farm thing.
I was going to say, that's a bit like having an ant farm,
yeah,
isn't it?
And I bought the ants, and then by the time we put them in the ant thing, they died. So she keeps saying I need to buy her some more ants, but I'm wondering whether I should buy her some snails instead.
Nah, snails are better. They don't get all over your butler either.
Well, not
over your butter. Unless you leave them in the fridge, but then why would you put the snails in the fridge?
Anyway, I think we should move on.
Do you?
Hopefully that was a nice mention. We didn't ruin it too much.
Yeah, what we will do to try and add some sensibility to that is we will put some links to it on the website so that people can follow up. So if you're interested in what on earth's going on in the snail-related world, you'll be able to follow that link.
Yeah, and it's all about schools and stuff, so I'd suggest they don't go to that school with that sign on the window. Brilliant.
Right, we've got dozens of emails and all kinds of things and dozens of tweets coming in, but I'm going to play a bit of music.
Good plan.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel alright. You know I work all day to get your money to buy a thing, and it's worth it just to hear you say you're gonna give me everything. So why on earth should I moan? 'Cause when I get you alone, you know I feel okay. When I'm home, everything seems to be right. When I'm home, feeling you holding me tight, tight, yeah. It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log.
network have hundreds of vacancies across West Kent. We offer ongoing work, weekly pay and a variety of shift patterns to suit your needs. Visit us at www.tempnetwork.co.uk or call Tunbridge Wells 531 777.
Let's work it to the bone, 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 come on, work.
Cool, welcome back to Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk with me and the famous Joe Dodds. And on the phone right now we have Mr. Peter Kirk. Hello, Peter.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
All right, just listening to that song. I mean, it's got the most distinct beginning chord known to man, hasn't it?
It has indeed.
That nobody can play, apart from me.
I was going to say, I bet you're one of the few people that can play it, Pete.
Possibly, yeah. there'll be a few more looking it up on Google after this.
Yeah, sure. It never ceases to amaze me. I was telling a story the other day about my partner in the radio station, Kevin, who is working with a chap called Brian Eno that you may have heard of.
No, was he any good?
Nah. But the funny thing was, Pete, I was telling a couple of people that, thinking this is top name dropping going on here.
Yeah,
just both looked at me blankly and went, is he in a band? Well, right, okay. I'm getting old.
He's actually a professor, isn't he? Goes on Radio 4 on Question Time.
Yeah.
He talks about, you know, physics and matters of celestial development. Anyway.
Well, never mind. Anyway, Pete, what have you been up to, mate? You've been up to something special just recently, haven't you?
We're famous now.
Yeah.
Listening to your thing on snails, I just want to point out, I met Sir Richard Branson, which has got nothing to do with snails, but another useless fact of the day is if you cut a worm in half, only the half with the saddle remains alive.
Really?
Oh, and which is the bit with the saddle?
You'll have to Google that.
Yeah, yeah. Don't come on here with your half-cocked bloody factoids, mate. We want the full Monty, otherwise nothing.
It sort of relates to Richard Branson, because, of course, he's quite good at spitting off his business.
Yeah.
These are subunits. But usually the units, unlike the earthworm, both survive. So that's where the analogy breaks down. But yes,
Peter,
I did
the
meet...
power of the analogy, I've loved
it. I met Sir Richard Branson yesterday. I won a competition.
Right.
So what
did you do to win the competition?
Well, he'd written an article on the internet about how leadership lessons start at home with your family.
Right.
In other words, don't go to business school and read a load of old rubbish in a book.
Hmm.
You know, just look around you. There's probably some good examples and possibly some bad ones, but in his case, good ones. So he wrote a post about his mum.
Hmm.
And then he said, does anyone want to write something about their family?
Right.
So I wrote one about my dad.
Okay.
And so did probably quite a lot of other people, frankly.
Yeah.
But I didn't spend a lot of time on it, about an hour, and I've just put it up there. It's sort of, you know, most people know about that. They don't have to craft it like an article. So I just whacked it out and thought not a lot of it for a few days, and suddenly I got an email saying, really like your post, Peter. Would you like to come up to London and meet me, and I'll give you a copy of my book, and you can come in and you know.
That's stonking.
And he
says, well done,
meet
mate.
Me. Was it really an email from him?
It came on LinkedIn. It had Sir Richard Branson. I had some Twitter naysayer said to me, probably a scam.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who needs friends when you've got people like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was spooked by that for an evening. I was thinking, no, it's probably just, yeah. So I clicked on the link, and it's Richard Branson, 6.5 million followers. I thought, no, that's the real one.
Right.
Yeah.
Whether it came from him, we'll never know.
Right.
I think he will have identified with the post. I expect he looked at the last few to make sure that they were okay for him.
Mm.
And my dad died at an early age. He was very old when I was born. My mother said I was a virgin birth, but that's another story.
I've seen you walking on water as well, Pete.
Yes, indeed. So, and his dad had passed away at an early stage. I think there was obviously some, he must have recognised some things in that, I think. Mm. But I didn't know that at the time, so this was just pure luck, really.
Right.
So I didn't go and research him and then create a blog post. I just wrote a post about my dad.
Yeah, sure.
And it happened to coincide with enough for him to think, we'll invite him. So we went up to Virgin Money yesterday and won a copy of his book.
Fantastic.
And, got a picture of... Sorry,
I was going to say, what was he like? I saw him speak a while ago, and it was sort of quite a small group of people, and he was very shy, I think. He seems so flamboyant when you see him, you know, publicly, but I don't think he is, really, is he?
No, well, he is something of an introvert, I think. Yeah. You can be an introvert and a good showman, and most of my rock and roll friends could tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not drawn to being in crowds. I have to say, yesterday, it was like a rugby scrum, because they've invited us along, but there was also a lot of people who were like frequent flyers that go into the office in London, who'd also bought books and were, you know, almost throwing them at him, because he was only there for a little while. So
right.
I didn't envy him, actually, because he was being, you know, buffeted around. I mean, you see these things happen with celebrity. It was almost like Lady Gaga had walked in the building, except he didn't have any meat for sale.
Cool. So, did you enjoy... How long did you spend there, Pete?
Oh, we spent about an hour in the lounge, and then I toddled off. I had to go to the pub on the way home for some reason.
Yes, it's a bugger when you have to do that, isn't it, really?
For a celebratory glass of tap water.
Yeah.
If I had two glasses of tap water was what I asked for. they didn't have any, so I had to...
Push the boat out. Oh, yes, good.
But, yeah. And I think they'll probably do a little write-up about the five participants. Right. There was a senior guy from Dell who'd run, two entrepreneurs that have got small businesses, and someone else who never got quite to meet because it was, say, so kind of chaotic in the moment to try and get it all done. There were really five excellent people as well, so a bit of networking, because that's where business often comes from these days, from those strange connections.
For sure, absolutely, yeah. Well, Pete, thank you so much for phoning in and telling us about that. We're all dead jealous and envious of you being, hobnobbing with Sir Richard, your best mate now. Really good stuff. Well done. I'm going to have a read of your blog post as well.
Yes, there is a blog post. There'll be another one out in a few days. Giving a bit of detail. But you've got the hot off the press.
Cool.
I'm playing in October in London. On October the 29th, so everyone's got to come and see me play with a rock god,
right.
Ozzy Osbourne's guitarist at the Borderline. Look it up on Google.
Wow, cool.
Type
good
in
stuff.
Bernie Tormey, Borderline, or something. I'll let you get off.
Can I just ask a question about when you met Richard? Can we call him Richard?
Dickie.
Did he realise that you've got all this music connection, given that's where he started as well?
Well, I did give him a copy of Sex, Leadership and Rock and Roll.
Good,
he flicks through it and he's looking at the pictures, and I said to him, I said, look, same deal here as Harvey Goldsmith. If you don't want to read it, Richard, you can always colour it in. and we had, I'd taken some albums and a guitar, so I looked distinctly different than most of the people.
Yeah.
So we've got a picture, and we still to get the official ones, but I've got a picture of Richard holding a copy of a Gong album, which was one of his early signings.
I saw that on Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, and I had the Sex Pistols and a few other Virgin records that I had brought up. I had a little bag full of goodies, we got one with a guitar, but that isn't out yet. So, I think he probably worked it out that I may have something to do with music. But he was suddenly whisked off to the one show. So at that point, it probably is all a
such blur. A name dropper.
Yeah, I wasn't whisked off to the one show. I was whisked off to a bar.
Yeah.
For tap water.
Cool.
Thank
you very much.
Peter,
thank
you so much for joining us. Lovely to hear from you, mate. We'll look forward to seeing you and hearing from you again soon. But for the moment, have a great afternoon, and thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you. Make sure you don't cut yourself in half like an earthworm.
Absolutely. Or if I do, to retain the saddle.
Retain your saddle.
Yeah. I did learn from you, mate.
Bye.
Cheers, Pete. Take care. Peter Cook there.
The famous
Peter Cook. Pete's wrote loads of books. Punk HR is one of my favourites.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and Sex and Leadership and Rock and Roll is another good one.
He came on one of our early shows.
He did indeed. He's been on a couple of times, actually,
yeah,
Peter.
Yeah, yeah.
He's an old style rock and roller, but he's also a management consultant, and he's one of these people that can talk for ages about very succinct management things, but he's really disconcerting because he uses rock and roll lyrics to do it, and he can just think of these lyrics just off the top of his head. It's really brilliant.
Yeah,
anyway,
I remember.
Yeah.
That was when we were in the little studio, wasn't it?
It was in a really tiny studio out on a potato farm or wherever we were then.
No, we were in the High Street.
Oh, we were in the High Street.
Yeah,
that was,
yeah,
oh yeah,
yeah,
okay. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Early on.
Okay. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to we better catch up with some of the tweets, because we've got hundreds of tweets coming in. So we'll do a couple of tweets, play another track, and then we'll talk to our studio guests. What do you reckon?
Good plan.
Sound like a plan?
It does.
Okay. Tweet then, Joe. Oh. Or should I do it? No, I'll do a tweet. I've got to find one now. Transformed by You has retweeted the email that you wrote earlier, or you read earlier, about the creative forum for the Institute of Directors. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that.
I could do one, actually. My friend Alex is listening. I don't think he lives in Kent, so I don't know if it's his first time listening, but he thinks Little Dodsy might be getting snails for Christmas. So, hi, Alex.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Could well do. Could well do. Hold on. The girls in the studio, our next guests, have been tweeting lots as well. Luke Phillips has tweeted in, great to hear Better Body Shop mentioned on the Business Bunker show. Thank you for that. No, that's an absolute pleasure. Claire Reeves has tweeted in, thanks for the mention on what I'm doing and on the tongue twisting. Mentions, sorry about that, Claire. I'm in one of those moods. Union 23, we are at Jubilee Primary School in Maidstone doing a community garden clearing with Live and Social. So that's Anwen and the folks at Union 23, and Johnny and the folks at Live and Social are at the Jubilee Primary School in Maidstone doing some community garden cleaning whilst listening to the Business Bunker show. There you go. I'll tell you what.
I think Helen's forgiven me.
Oh, right, okay.
I apologised for misunderstanding the snail thing. She said, best wishes from the mollusks and me. So I think we're friends. It's okay.
Okay. Kent Tweetups have tweeted in, this Thursday we're at the Whitstable Hotel Continental at 10 a.m. It's the Whitstable Tweetup. And you can find out all the details about it by going to their website, which is kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk. And I also had a couple of earlier tweets from Emily Gillie Marrett, otherwise known as East Kent Mum on the Twitter, or The Reading Fairy. And she runs a company called The Reading Fairy. And she says, woo-hoo-hoo, we've just got a KCC contract to deliver Harry McCleary. I don't even want to go there.
Oh, I love that book.
Harry McCleary events in 12 Kent libraries.
Oh.
Do you know Harry McCleary?
Yeah, do you know it?
No.
Oh, it's Harry McCleary from Donaldson's Dairy, and they've got...
Where have I been?
We were in a restaurant or something the other day, and somebody walked past... Oh, we were in our caravan. Mm. Did I just mention that? And somebody walked past with a really, really big dog, and Ellie said, that's Hercules Morse, like a very big horse. like a very small horse, very small horse. And we all knew it, because we all remember those books.
Well,
you
there you go.
Them. Oh, that's so cool.
Well, there you go. So Emily of Reading Ferry has got a contract to deliver Harry McCleary events at Kent Library. So
tell us
well
some
done.
More. Tweet me details.
Yeah.
Because I know Little Dodsy's eight, but we still love it.
Do you know, Emily? You can follow her on the Twitter. Her Twitter handle is East Kent Mum or Reading Fairies. And Reading Fairies is the name of her company.
Oh.
She does book readings and stuff like that and reads to kids.
Oh,
it's brilliant.
Oh, I need
brilliant.
To meet her because I do that all the time.
Yeah,
I do
she's
all
brilliant.
The voices and everything.
Yeah, no, she's brilliant. No, you ought to touch base.
Yeah, definitely.
She's fabulous.
Can I read this out? Because this
is
very exciting. I didn't notice it when I was looking through them earlier. The University of Kent in Canterbury is celebrating its 50th anniversary, and it's announced a London Eye-style attraction on campus.
Wow.
So you'll get panoramic views of the Cathedral City when it comes later in the month, and it was announced as part of the university's 50th anniversary, as I said. It's going to be on the Rutherford Lawn from the 24th of September until Sunday the 19th of October. And it'll be 33 metres tall, so it's a wheel, in case people didn't know what I meant when I said the London Eye, with 24 pods taking 10 minutes per journey. And we can all go and have a look. And it'll be £6 with discounts available for Canterbury resident card holders and under 12. So, how exciting. I went on the one in York a while ago.
Did you?
Which they had to take down because apparently the flats in the area complained that people were peeking through their windows, which is such rubbish. Like, we're interested in looking through the windows when we're looking at the lovely views. But anyway, so that went away. But that is so exciting.
Fantastic. Emily's also told me that an art film set in Whitstable has been chosen for the British Film Institute London Film Festival. So that's brilliant. And in line with that, I'm actually associate producer of a film called One Last Dance, starring Jonathan Pryce, which is due to start filming shortly in Herne Bay. And the film was written by one Mr. Glenn Laker over there.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who Jonathan Pryce is.
He's been in almost everything.
Is he the one with a funny haircut?
Mm,
very old school actor, or is he the
He's an old school actor. Yeah. He's been in lots of Shakespearean stuff. Yes. He's played Fagin on the stage in Oliver Twist. You will, as soon as you see him, you know him. He's been in millions of things.
He's got a funny haircut. I'm sure that's the one.
Yeah, quite possibly.
I'll look him up.
Cool. Do you know what? I'm going to play some more tunage, and then we're going to talk to our studio guests. What do you reckon?
Good plan.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Living on free food tickets, watering the milk from a hole in the roof where the rain came through. What can you do? Tears from your little sister, crying because she doesn't have a dress without a patch for the party to go. But you know she'll get by, 'cause she's living in the love of the common people, far from the heart of a family man. Daddy's gonna buy you a dream to cling to, mama's gonna love it just as much as she can. And she can. People fall through the hole in your pocket and you lose it in the snow on the ground. You gotta walk in the town to find a job. Trying to keep your hands warm when the hole in your shoe let the snow come through until you're to the bone. Somehow you better go home where it's warm, where you can live in the love of the common people. Smile from the heart of a family man. Daddy's gonna buy you a dream to cling to. Mama's gonna love you just as much as she can. And she can. Closer the knit, the tighter the fit, and the two stay away. Just take them in stride for family pride. You know that faith is your foundation, with a whole lot of love and a warm conversation. But don't forget to pray, just making it strong where you belong. And we're living in the love of the common people, smiles from the heart of a family man. Daddy's gonna buy you a dream to cling to, mama's gonna love it just as much as she can. She can. Yes, we're living in the love of a common people. Smiles from the heart of a family man. Daddy's gonna buy you a dream to cling to. Mama's gonna love it just as much as she can. Living in the love of a common people. Smiles from the heart of a family man. Daddy's gonna buy you a dream to cling to. Mama's gonna love it just as much as she can.
With the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday the 16th of September. It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome onto the Business Bunker show our studio guests, Harriet and Natalie from Expertise Home Care. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Had a bit of a journey getting here, didn't you? Got stuck behind a tractor out here on the marsh, I think.
Yes, I think we forgot what country roads are like at the best of times.
It's a bit rural around here, isn't it? Yeah, sorry about that. We should have warned you, really. Anyway, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming over and joining us. Why don't you tell the listener a little bit about you guys yourselves, and then we'll talk a little bit about your business. Go on, who wants to go first?
Harriet can go first.
Yeah. My background, and Natalie's actually, is in the home care sector.
Right.
We started in the home care sector as a part-time career, really, alongside our other occupations at the time. Never really thinking that that was the line that we were going to go down. But we worked as home care workers and saw, you know, from the front end of what home care can really be like for end users. We supported people and decided that this was actually an industry that we'd like to grow in and progress our careers in. So we worked our way up through as care workers to becoming supervisors, care coordinators, eventually care managers, and launching different franchises and private businesses, and also companies for the NHS through Kent, Surrey and London.
Wow. Were you doing this for another organisation at that time?
Yeah, we've both worked for different organisations. So right. In the last 3 years, we've done 4 start-up businesses for other people.
Wow. So. Blimey, they don't look old enough, do they?
No, they don't. And they don't look like your traditional care sort of manager type people. They look very glam.
So yeah, very young, glamorous ladies sitting there going, yeah, we're actually entrepreneurs and very successful and serious business people.
And I think
and quite right too.
Quite disruptive in the industry from what they told me at the beginning, so I'd like to talk a bit about that. But can you just sort of define home care for people who are listening, because I think people have perceptions, but it'd be good to hear your
I need caring at home. I just thought I'd mention that.
I wouldn't go there though.
No, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, I don't think we do that sort of home care.
Damn.
Home care, it's domiciliary care, so we're calling it home care.
Yeah,
it is the same thing. It's where you provide non-clinical staff to go out and provide support in the community, so it could be anything from helping with a meal to medication to personal care. And we care for, with our model, anybody over the age of 18, so it covers learning disabilities, mental health, right up to elderly, frail and end-of-life care.
Okay, cool. Now, so many experiences I've had with family members or friends that I know that have had in-home home care have not been massively impressed with what they've had in the past. Tell us a little bit about how you see that and how you see that model progressing in the future. Because health and healthcare and home care is one of the biggest growing areas there is. And I take on board fully that you support people with all kinds of issues. But we have an ageing population too. And with age comes things like dementia and Alzheimer's and all those kind of things, which also make it necessary to care for people. But people do want to be cared for in their own home. They feel more comfortable there, yeah?
Yeah. I think there's a definite trend towards that, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So from your point of view, you've both worked in the business. You've both done lots of things in the business. You then kind of said, hey, why are we doing this for somebody else when we could do it for ourselves? Is that the way it works? Or?
We've known each other for about 9 years and have always worked in the sector separately and at times actually as the same in the same companies. But we decided that we wanted to continue our next step in the industry. And everything that we put into our original model meant that it was actually a lot stronger than what's currently out there in the community. So we wanted to offer it as a franchising opportunity for people. So we've developed software and new systems. We've also taken old systems that we know do work, but also brought in new innovation, really, to make sure that we can raise the standards of care for the end user and also for everybody in the organisation itself as well.
Okay.
Can you give us an example of one of those things?
I think, well, basically, we looked at the problems that we had. In every single role that we'd been in, there were always problems. And we went through them categorically and sort of picked each one. So one of them is we worked with a developer to develop some technology, which means that we can put the care plans, risk assessments, medication, everything like that into a online portal, which the carers then have access to. And it means that the carers will do their care, they'll update it straight onto their smartphones, and it means they'll send automatic notifications to the family. So if your relative was in care, you could get an update as soon as it's happened, doing the GPS arrival time, the leaving time, because that's always a big bone of contention.
Absolutely, yeah.
How long people stay. And then it can also dictate, it could tell you what they've had for breakfast or lunch, whether somebody's eaten all of it.
Okay.
Everything like that.
So let me make sure I've understood this, because I'm a bearer of very little brain. you guys aren't actually providing care. You're putting together a system for those that do provide care, and selling it, for want of a better word, as a franchise. Yeah. So basically, you buy into your system, you get a complete package of how to manage care services. Is that how it works?
That's correct. And you also get the use of all of our technology, software, also access to all the suppliers that we've made dealings with and contracts with.
Sure.
Now, and also our support. So it's not just our place to be selling franchises. We want to make sure every single franchisee is successful in their own right as well. So we want to make sure in every area that we launch in that everybody is providing the highest standard of care.
Fantastic. So you guys have put this together. You've pulled in all that technology and made all these kind of things happen. Are you franchising to a particular geographic area, or is it national? How's that going to work?
It's national.
Right.
So, yeah. Quite exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And how long have you been going?
3 weeks.
Three. Tell me that again.
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Right, okay. So long term then.
That's when we launched.
So how's it going?
Yeah. Well, we've already got one.
Have you really?
Yes. Yeah.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
We had 12 inquiries yesterday.
Right, okay.
So we are getting a lot of inquiries coming through, and obviously we've got one that we're just in the final stage of going through contracts with.
Fantastic.
And are you looking at people who are already doing this and need some more infrastructure to make it better, or are you looking at people starting from scratch?
It can be either.
I think it can be either. I mean, I think we're mainly targeting people coming in from scratch, but it could be either, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fantastic. So this is really hot off the press stuff. You heard it here first, folks, on the Business Bunker Show. A brand new business launched in Kent. Where are you guys based?
In Tunbridge Wells.
Okay, Tunbridge, never heard of it. Yeah, Tunbridge Wells, okay. So it's early days for you, obviously, and with launching new businesses always, you know, it's precarious no matter how good the idea and how well the execution, and I'm sure you're doing really well with that. It's always kind of nerve-wracking because, you know, there's a long period of gestation where you've got to get it out there, got to get people familiar with what you do, and people have got to bite the bullet. But you've sold one franchise already, which is fantastic. Yeah. After 3 weeks. My first business took 4 years to make its first income.
One of the main things that we did before launch was to do a lot of networking, a lot of networking events, and that has really allowed us to raise our brand awareness, get to people to understand what we are doing and what we're aiming to achieve. Mm. And that's actually how we've got a lot of inquiries already, even before we'd launched. So.
Absolutely. So the kind of people that you're targeting, what in your opinion at this stage in your evolution, because I'm sure this could change and grow over time, obviously, at this stage in your evolution, what is the archetypal type of franchisee? Is that the right word? Franchisor?
Yes, franchisee.
Franchisee. What's the archetypal type of franchisee? Who are you really targeting at this stage?
At the current time, we are pretty targeted on small businesses, looking at potentially having another option. And I think, as well, a lot of people end up working for their business, and our model allows people to be able to step back. I mean, that's the whole point of owning your own business, is that it works for you. So that's what we're targeting at the moment, is small businesses that are looking for that.
And is this people that are just moving for the first time into providing care services, or established businesses, or a bit of both?
It's people from completely different industries. So outside of the healthcare industry, looking to invest and have this opportunity of working with us.
Okay, fine. So it's a new kind of business. So maybe someone that actually worked in the care industry for somebody else, or did something completely different, that wants to move into that kind of role and stuff like that.
Could be you.
It could be me. It could be me.
Yeah. So he does like to dabble in organisations, but I'm not sure that care is really the one.
Yeah.
You'd have to outsource it.
I could be the first care provider that needs more care than I'm providing, to be honest. So, if I'm really honest about that, yeah. That could be funny. Brilliant. So Tell us a little bit about the platforms and systems that you've got in place at the moment. How does that, it's a portal, you were saying, presumably that it's a private portal, because otherwise it wouldn't work as a franchise, would it? And give us a bit more background to what you've actually incorporated into that. You were talking about, you know, signing in and signing out type of technology. What else have you got on offer in that?
Maybe a way to do it would be to think about, if I was a new person and I wanted to buy into it, what process would we be going through? What would I need to do first with you, and what could you offer, sort of thing?
I mean, if you're talking obviously regards to the software, I mean, the software is a very small part of it, but it's the biggest sort of impact to the end user. The software does your rostering, which is where you dictate where the carers are going to go. It organises that. It does invoicing, payroll. It actually calculates to make sure that our carers are paid minimum wage, because a lot of carers get paid for contact time. And when you then look at the first call to the last call with their travelling, they don't actually get paid the minimum wage. So our software calculates that, and at the end of the day, it will do a report and it will tell you whether it's hit that target or not. And if it hasn't, it will pay the carers more money. It obviously has this portal for family members, which means that they can keep connected. It has the carers element to it as well. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a very essential part of the business. But, I mean, there's so many other things as well. We're working with Revu, the independent reviewing company, so that it means that every single one of our customers is given the opportunity to review us independently. We have nothing to do with it, and it means that good, bad, indifferent, it all goes up on our website for everybody to see, which is a good incentive to keep the standards high.
Fantastic. We just had a couple of tweets. Stephen Jenner just listened to the Brilliant Business Bunker show with the ladies with their fantastic franchise idea. And someone called Alexis Kingsbury,
that's
who
Alex.
I don't...
That's my friend Alex.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Ah, someone that knows Joe.
my one and only friend.
Great to hear about expertise on the Business Bunker show, supporting better home care standards via franchise. So you're starting to generate some interest in that.
Presumably this would work for people, organisations that have a care, when it's not domiciliary, what's it called?
Residential
care. Yeah. And they're looking to expand, because I know some companies have done quite a lot of that, where they've done, and some of the, we had somebody on here talking about the cancer care, didn't we, a long time ago, and they were saying that they were trying to do a lot more domiciliary stuff rather than take them somewhere, and it was cheaper, I think, in the end.
Yeah, that's a charity called CHIPS, who do, I've got to get the terminology right, they do in-home,
palliative care, is it?
No. It's like DeMille's a house and people like that.
Hospice care.
Thank you. They do in-home hospice and end-of-life care.
That's what I was reminded of.
Especially for children, because young children don't want to spend their last few months in a alien environment. So it was care in the home.
Yeah.
So a lot of that. But one of the things, and I know I don't want to keep driving you back down here, but I'm a techie, so I like the technology. But I also think it's really important from a human point of view, because one of the things I like about what you said is the portal for family members. Yeah. I think that is so important. You know, we all live very busy lives. I've got friends at the moment who have elderly relatives that are currently receiving care in the home, and they get distressed phone calls from relatives saying, "Oh, my carer's not turned up. I've got nothing to eat, or I've got no toilet rolls, or I've got this or that." And the trouble is, you can't always tell, because some of these people are suffering from dementia and Alzheimer's, and they just forgot that the carer has been and gone and left the stuff in. You know, so. But if you don't know that, you have to drop everything, go over, and then find that, in fact, it is there, and it's a false alarm. But sometimes they haven't been, and discerning that is a huge stress on people. One of the things I love about what you're doing is to give people the portal where they can track that kind of thing. It's really important.
It also does email updates, so you can just set it up so you don't have to log in, that it will just send
it'll
you
just
emails.
Email you. Yeah.
So you'll get an email after the call to give you all the details.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can communicate with us as well through that portal. So it's really about, we're trying to keep families connected.
Yeah.
Because I think there's always a huge guilt element as well whenever
of course, you're absolutely right. right, yeah.
And you don't feel that you know enough, so this just gives a really good communication back and forth and keeps everybody up to date.
No, I think that is so important, and it's a massive part of anything like that. You're absolutely right, because the family of people that are being cared for want to know that what they've done works.
Mm. It also offers care workers more support in their role, which is what sometimes the care workers will say that they feel that they lack. Because by having this portal, if there is anything raised, like any medication query, an incident report will go to the office, which means that the call can't be closed down until the office calls the care worker and makes sure that they run them step by step through what they need to take and do. And it also, if there's any incidents or accidents in the customer's home, as soon as the care worker clicks on that that has happened on their portal, then the office have a notification to call straight away and again help them step by step through to make sure that the customer gets the best quality of care if anything has happened in that process as well.
Fantastic. It is so needed, and it sounds like you've got a fantastic thing going there. But you've built this based on your own experience, and that's really what's worked, isn't it? You've worked in the business, you've worked at the sharp end, you've seen what works and what doesn't work, you've talked to the families, you've talked to the recipients of care, and gone, do you know, we can do something about this, and I love that. My big thing is disruptive technology. I love doing things that people say you can't do, and I like reinventing new things, and it seems to me that that's kind of what you've done as well, guys, is you've gone, look, this is a market, it's a growing market, there's a huge demand for this, but currently it's not being done very well, and here's a way that we can do it, and we can franchise it, so that not only the beauty of what I'm telling you, but the beauty of what you're doing is you're not just doing it once, you're replicating it, so loads of people are doing it, you know, because I'm sure there are one or two care companies about to go, no, we really care, and I'm sure they do, but they're just one company.
Yeah.
With you, you can franchise it to loads and loads of people who are going to get at least the same standard of care across the board.
I think that's why we decided to do that, because we just thought we've put so much into it.
Yeah.
And between, you know, Harriet and I could, one, run a domiciliary care company each, and we could make sure it's a good standard, but that's only going to be one or two companies.
Yeah.
Whereas doing this franchise model and using the review to make sure that we can see that everything is going well and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
And most importantly, the customers, we can roll it out obviously a lot faster to a lot more people.
Yeah.
And raise the standard of care in the
UK. Absolutely. Cool. Look, ladies, we could talk about this forever, but sadly we're kind of fast running out of time. We've been talking about it for quite a while. Give us a shout for your website and your Twitter handle and your Facebook page or anything else you want to tell us so that people can follow up if they want to.
Our website is www.expertisehomecare.com and our Twitter is expertisehc.
Fantastic.
You can follow us on.
The links to that are already on the Kent Business Radio website and they will remain on there forever. So you can find out about what these guys are doing and follow up on that if you're interested in just finding out more about it or you're interested in potentially taking out a franchise. We have lots of business people that listen to the show or lots of people that want to be in business. So if you want to find out about it, do go to their website and have a look. Yeah.
We have Discovery Days coming up as well, which offers people the opportunity to come and see us and also some of our suppliers to see what our opportunities really are about in more depth.
Brilliant.
Those Discovery Days are in October in London on the 13th and in November on the 11th in Kent. So if anybody is interested, they can register to attend those days as well.
Fantastic. When we get a bit nearer to the Kent one, especially, say, middle of October, let me know. Let me know the venues and stuff, and we'll mention it on the show, and we'll put it on the website so that people can come along if they want to.
Perfect, thank
we'll
you.
We'll do a link that's easy to say on the radio.
Cool. But for the moment, Harriet and Natalie, thank you so much. Expertise Home Care, brilliant. Thank you, and
thank
lovely
you.
To meet you. Thank you for joining us on the show. Do stay with us for the remaining part of the show and feel free to join in. But at the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bug Show.
Thank you.
Fantastic. We got so much to get through. We haven't got much time left to do it all. We've got loads of tweets, loads of emails, and I also want to talk to Joe because I want to know what Joe's been up to.
Ah, thank you.
Because I haven't seen you for ages.
No, I know.
What have you been up to, Jo? What have you been doing?
Oh, well, so I'm still doing my social media for HR stuff and working with the Engage for Success movement, which is all about spreading the word about employee engagement and how important it is and what it is and shining a light on good practice. Mm. So I do a day a week with them still, which is good.
Cool.
But I'm launching a new business.
A what?
a new business.
A new business?
Yeah.
I thought for a minute you said newsletter, and I thought, no, we've been there, we've done that. No, don't do that again.
But do you know what's interesting is I started my first business, which was the Hive Handbook, 9 years ago now, and I was in corporate. I had no idea how to run a business, nothing about nothing. Nothing about publishing, nothing about selling advertising, and I just got on and did it. Now, after 9 years, I'm really scared.
No, you still know nothing. Oh, no.
But isn't that weird? You know, like all iterations, you know, lots of more experience, and it's harder now than it was 9 years ago.
Do you think so?
I think it is. Well, you probably don't, because you do it all the time, and, well, you just do. But I don't know. I just think I do it. Is it because I know more stuff now, and I know all the downfalls, whereas the first time I just sort of got on with it and was optimistic.
I think there's a large element of that. The more you know, the kind of scarier it gets, because sometimes you can be quite naive and blow into things. And it's one of the reasons I love disruptive technology so much. I love getting involved in businesses I know absolutely nothing about, because it doesn't scare me, because I don't know anything about it. So I just do it, and people that do work in a business go, you can't do that, it doesn't work like that. And I go, does it not?
Yeah.
Well, it does now.
So yeah, that's sort of where I went with this business, actually. Although I do know a bit about it, but I suppose, yeah. So it's a guardianship agency for international boarding students. So people may not know that there are lots of international students in our independent schools, and they have to have a UK guardian in most cases. And there are a number of agencies out there. We've been a host family for a couple of years. We've had various students from Mexico and Brazil and Germany and China. And
you've been recreating the World Cup in your garden, haven't
we
you?
We have, yeah. And little Dodsey has all these lovely extra sisters now all around the world, and open invitations to go and visit all of their places, and as we have. And I want to be disruptive in the industry. I've seen some of the sort of things that don't work so well, and I think I can do it better. So yes, there we go.
It's quite apposite, though, isn't it, Joe? Because really, a lot of what you're looking to do with this mirrors what the girls here are doing with Expertise Home Care. It is about families being connected with someone that's being cared for by somebody else.
Yes,
effectively.
Yeah, exactly. And I was listening, thinking, "Oh, I think I need an app."
Yeah, exactly. you could nick theirs and change it, couldn't you? That's what I was thinking.
Yes, I was thinking exactly that, because you know, we have students that you pick them up at the airport, you take them to the school.
Yeah.
At the moment, it's an email, maybe, or you know, in my experience, the agencies actually don't even know that you've done it and tell the parents. I do, as the person who's picking them up. You know, there's lots of sort of things like that that could be quite useful. So it's going to be in Kent, and I won't have any people staying with me, because obviously that would be a very small business with one spare room. So I am.
You could pack them in. Put shelves up and stuff, couldn't you?
Yeah, that wouldn't really go with the values
work
of nurturing the children.
I suppose not.
And everything else. And the other thing for us is Kent is just such a rich place of heritage and culture and everything else. And I think it's about, they come to the school and they learn stuff and they learn English and that sort of thing. But it's about, you know, them going to Dover Castle and visiting France and going to London and things like that, and they don't necessarily get loads of that experience through the schools, because obviously they're focused on school stuff. So it's about, you know, giving them some other experiences when they're here. So on that note, I can make a little appeal, can't I, for host families. One of the schools said to me that finding host families for half term and exeats, if they have them at schools, which are just a weekend where they're out of the school maybe once a half term or once a term, and most of them don't do that in my experience locally, that would be the hard thing. And I said, well, I don't think it will be, because I don't know any other host parents. Nobody ever told me about this business. I found out about it through early school originally, and everyone I speak to is really interested and you know, wants to know more and you know, thinks the advantage of that we have of early knowing people from other companies and countries, rather. That put me off then. There's someone
ringing in, but we can't deal with that now.
So you know, the cultural stuff for us as a family and the people we're meeting and all that sort of stuff is such a positive, so I don't think it's difficult to find people. And so you lot listening are going to prove me right. So if anyone's interested in finding out a bit more about being a host family for half terms and you know, as I say, exit weekends or whatever, then you know, let me know.
Fine, get in touch with Jack.
Yeah, my company's going to be prideguardians.com. The website is not quite launched yet, but
you can as it is, you can tell us, and we'll tell everybody.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But yeah, joe@joejones.com, you can get to me if you have any questions or want to find out anything or any ideas for me.
Fantastic. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play a little bit of music now and try and find out who that was on the phone.
Yes.
And we'll go from there. What do you reckon?
Good plan.
Business Bunker.
Welcome back, listener. Oh, that was exciting. I was watching the girls doing selfies. That was really brilliant. A little bit of me, a little bit of you, monkeys. I've had a tweet from Rob and the team over at Go Vicinity Creative. Interesting show today, Paul. We've been listening in as usual, but with our heads down working, so we haven't joined in the conversation today, but it's been fabulous. So thank you, Rob, and the team over at Go Vicinity. Thank you for that.
They didn't say it's been fabulous.
I made that bit up. That's a Steve Wright bit.
Yes, it was.
Loving your little show.
It was, yeah. I was at a thing the other day, and somebody who is now the HR director for Leeds Teaching Hospitals was doing a talk about the NHS. And he did this thing about if you were to have money given to you by pound by pound, how long would it take you to get to £1 million?
Right.
And then he said, how long do you think it would take if it was £1 billion? So he said £1 million, you'd be 33 days old or something as a baby if you got a pound every minute. Yeah. And he said, how long do you think it would be to get to £1 billion? And I went, I think it's something like 33 years. And he went, it is, it's 33 years. I said, oh, I learnt that on Steve Wright. I think I ruined his presentation. Clearly he was going to, you know, do the big unveil, and I sort of said it.
That is fairly typical of you, Joe, to be honest.
It is, really.
I know that. And also, do you know, if you cut a worm in half and only keep your saddle half, it's still alive. And if you poke the eyes out on a snail, and you go, really?
I know. Full of useful information. And Alex has given us some more. Did you see? He said when he was six, he used to collect, breed, and race snails.
Really?
And he said, how do you race snails? You know, do you know how to race them? And apparently, you put them in the middle of a large circle, and you make sure your five-year-old brother isn't running around, and then you put R.I.P. Eric. So I think there was a bit of an accident.
Oh dear.
To Eric.
Sorry, Eric. I bet he tasted nice with garlic butter, though.
Well, here we go again. Hope Helen's not listening now.
Yeah. Animo Restaurant have tweeted, say, please could you give a shout out for our Moroccan restaurant in Whitstable? I've eaten there, so I'm more than happy to give a shout out to Animo. It's under the arches, under the railway arches, as you just go into Whitstable, and it's a fabulous little restaurant. Moroccan, Animo.
Lovely.
Ali and Mohammed. Good. Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys. The search begins for the 2014 London and South East Director of the Year. Business leaders across the whole of London and the South East are invited to enter the prestigious 2014 London and South East Director of the Year Awards. Open to members and non-members of the Institute of Directors, the award brings together company directors from a variety of backgrounds and recognises their qualities as business leaders. For more information and to enter, and entries are open as of yesterday, Monday the 15th of September, go to www.iod.com/connecting/local-networks/south. You won't remember that.
Didn't you?
You will be able to find it by just going to the iod.com website, but if you can't, there will be a link on the Kent Business Radio website for you to find it anyway. And I've got an announcement from the Regional Federation of Small Business. I have, after 13 years in the role of regional chairman, decided to retire from mainstream active Federation of Small Business roles. In addition to regional chairman, I've delivered 5 years chairmanship of the South East Policy Unit, and within that, 3 years at South East Regional Assembly Vice Chairman, and also been a national councillor. This has taken about one third of my life, and I fitted it in quite well around my other business efforts, but now is the time to step down. I am pleased to announce that Bill Fox of the Kent Business Academy has been nominated to take on the role at the AGM in November, and I wish him all the very best. I will be busy in Kent for a few years yet before I hang up my suit, and hope to chat with many of you over the years. I do hope to see you at the Kent and Medway AGM on the 6th of November at Oakwood House, Maidstone. Until then, very many thanks for your trust and support over the last 13 years. And that's from Roger House, the now former chairman, regional chairman of the Kent and Medway Federation of Small Business. Mm-hmm. Joe, what you got?
Well, can I just ask you, have you been to look at the triennial stuff yet?
Have I been to what?
To look at the Folkestone Triennial.
No.
Have you not?
Not yet.
We need to.
Well, is there any gold left on the beach?
I don't know. Okay. Probably. Not everyone's admitted it, though, have they? But go and look at the choir thing.
All right.
Because I'm in it.
Are you? I thought you might say that. Cool.
And my father-in-law. Cool. It's very good, though. If you go and see what's all happening in Folkestone for the next few weeks, it's really exciting. So, Ken Creative Arts. There's group coaching in Faversham on the 24th of September from 6 till 8.30 in the evening at the Phoenix Tavern. Our group business coaching sessions are designed for creative professionals who are serious about taking their practice to the next level. It's a top-end experience with members working together around a table. Drinks and meals are allowed, apparently. And you discuss your goals, you get help to your to-do list and courage to take action. And that's got an easy link. It's kentcreativelive.org.
Fabulous. We've had more tweets. Telcare Limited, the telecoms company over there on the Medway City Estate, Rochester, said it's the wisdom. I can't speak today. I don't know what
no,
that is.
My influence. It's just making is you it? All hot and bothered. And,
is it?
You know.
Okay. That'll be it. It's the Wisdom Hospice quiz night on Saturday. There are a few tables left, and Telcare are sponsoring, so do come along and enjoy. Now, I'm not sure how you find out about that, but I'm sure if you contact Telcare on the Twitter, they'll tell you. So that's the Wisdom Hospital hospice quiz on Saturday night, so do get along to that. And I've also had a tweet here from the Whitstable Stove Shop, who says, very busy in the shop at the moment, missed the first part of the show, we'll catch up with it on the archive later, but great second half. So thank you for that, Mark and the team at the Whitstable Stove Shop. Thank you very much.
I've got something that probably came in from Penny Williams, the lovely, lovely, marvellous, wonderful Penny Williams.
The gorgeous Penny Williams, yeah.
It said, last Friday, activity coordinator Fleur Parrott from Court Regis, Middletune Avenue, Sittingbourne, Kent, one of the dementia care experts at Avante's Care and Support Care Home.
Right.
That's a bit of a tongue twister as well. Completed the Ben Nevis Midnight Challenge to raise Blimey. Funds for the Alzheimer's
she
Society.
She climbed a mountain in the dark.
Yeah. Which sounds oddly familiar, because I did this once, but not for
yeah,
this.
But you just took a wrong turn on the way out from the pub.
No,
yeah.
I did 1.5 peaks when you're supposed to do 3. I did do Ben Nevis. Ben, climbers began the challenge.
You climbed Ben something or other.
Yeah, And I know I climbed Ben Nevis and came back down again, and then I gave up after 20 minutes on Scarfell, and then fortunately for me, Snowdon was closed.
So you did the three peaks challenge by climbing half a peak?
No, I climbed one peak, a very small part of another, and then I didn't have to do the third one. So in this one, climbers began the challenge in the early hours of the night by torch and moonlight with the sole aim of reaching the top of Ben Nevis. It's through the long dark hours made harder due to the lack of sunlight, and all the more rewarding. And when they get to the top, they're treated to the spectacle of the sunrise as they gather themselves ready for the descent back down. So, yeah, well done, Fleur. I do remember coming down Ben Nevis thinking, God, this is tough, at 3 o'clock in the morning. And all these, mostly men, I have to say, were running past going, morning, run, 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 morning, like it's the normal thing to do at 3 o'clock in the morning up a flipping mountain. I wasn't impressed. So there's a networking afternoon tea in Dartford on the 25th of September, 1:30 till 3 at Brands Hatch Place. Join us for our popular afternoon tea networking sessions where you'll have the ideal opportunity to meet fellow professionals, grow the profile of your brand and build new business relationships at the stunning Brands Hatch Place. And in the afternoon, you'll get a selection of finger sandwiches and cakes and a plain scone.
A plain scone.
Served with clotted cream and jam. What other alternatives are there? Oh, as opposed to a cheese scone, but you wouldn't have that with clotted cream, would you? So, thank you for clarifying.
Jules probably would, if it was the only thing on offer. By the way, she better have got my donkey and sombrero this time as well.
Yeah, she never.
Last time she left my stuffed donkey on the tarmac at Alicante Airport. Yeah.
Rubbish. Mm. Plus a variety of teas and coffees. So it's the Kent and Victor Chamber networking afternoon.
Cool. I've had a tweet in. It's about an event that's happening this Thursday in aid of the PDSA, and it's a talk about the National Search and Rescue Dogs Association this Thursday, the 18th of September, 7:30 for 8 p.m. start, and it's at the Star Meadow Sports Club, Darland Avenue, Gillingham, and that's next to the Star Pub. The tickets are a measly £3 a person, and you can meet Stuart with his rescue dogs, and that is being organised by Adrian Kearney of AK Pet Services. And there is a licensed bar available, so that's all worthwhile. If you want to book, there's a phone number, 0772-589-511. If you don't remember that and you can't find it on the Kent Business Radio website, I suggest you follow AK Pet Services on the Twitter, for that is Adrian's Twitter handle, and he is the chap that is organising it. And Mr. Alex Waterson of F-Keys, the Microsoft training company from Canterbury and Medway, forwarded that to me on the Twitter. So thank you, Adrian, for organising it, and thank you to Alex for bringing it to my attention.
You must be running out of time because you've started to punch all the things out like that.
I am, yeah. I'm trying to gabble my way through it now because I've got a dozen emails left and 24 tweets and only 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've got one here about Embrace Your Space from Canterbury City Council. Have you got a great idea that you think would improve your community through technology? Want to win the chance to get your idea turned into reality? We'd like you to take part in this autumn's community...
So you're gabbling now as well.
Transformify You Challenge. I always gabble. In East Kent, to help find solutions together. So from beaches, markets, restaurants, bus stops and skate parks to urban games, accessibility, learning zones, outdoor spaces, busking or street art. If you've got an idea, share it and work with others to help it become reality. So go to transformedbyyou.com. You can make suggestions, comment on others, form project groups, and you can vote on ideas, and a final winning solution will be chosen by a panel of judges at the Innovation Day on the 29th of November at the University of Kent.
Cool. Read another one, Jo.
Oh, okay. So, Business Minister Matthew Hancock has announced various measures that will make it easier to start a home-based business. These include changes to the law so that landlords can agree to a home-based business without undermining the residential nature of a tenancy agreement, the introduction of a new model tenancy agreement, and updated guidance making it clear that in the majority of circumstances, planning permission is not needed to start a home-based business. And business rates for home-based firms will also be updated. So, there's information on the government website, gov.uk, about backing for home-based businesses.
Cool.
Well, there you go.
We've got 34 more tweets that I'm going to try and get through. PH Accountancy have tweeted in. I think they're based in Whitstable, PH Accountancy. I've got a load of drivel from Jules, which I'm going to ignore. What else have I got here?
Alex's snail apparently wasn't eaten. They couldn't get it detached from his brother's sock.
Lovely. Oh, lovely. Venom Tech. September issue of Laboratory News sees our founder, Steve Trim, discussing the miracles of science. And that's from Venom Tech, based at Discovery Park over there at Sandwich. Venom Tech are the people that farm snake and spider venom.
Oh, venom, yes.
They'd know about cutting worms in half as well,
they
wouldn't
they? Do worms have venom? I'm not sure about that.
I don't know.
So, Ken and Victor Chamber have got networking breakfasts on the 18th of September. Oh, is that today? No, that's Thursday. At the Best Western Coniston Hotel in Sittingbourne, the 19th at Eastbourne Manor, and that's a big breakfast with Damien Green speaking. 3rd of October at the Mercure Tunbridge Wells Hotel in Pembury, or the 3rd also at City World, Rochester and Strood.
Cool. Good stuff. There's a construction expo, the Construction Expo 2014, and that's on Wednesday, the 8th of October, from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. It's at the Kent Event Centre at Detlin. That's at the showground, isn't it, up on Detlin Hill? Near Maidstone Junction 7 of the M20. There's free parking. London and the South East account for over 35% of the UK's total construction output and is the focal point for all professionals and suppliers targeting this industry. With proposed developments as diverse as the Paramount theme park at Swanscombe, Ebbfleet's New Garden City, I'll tell you about that in a minute, and Earls Court's 8 billion urban villages development, it's vital to keep informed on the major projects and to connect up with the key players in the marketplace. Anyone who is involved or would like to be in this dynamic, fast-growing sector should be there. Again, we will have one of the best lineups of speakers that are both relevant and informative to the construction industry. There's a free eminent keynote speakers who is Kevin Gaskell, who's the former managing director of Porsche and BMW, Fenlon Dumphy, who's the director of LRCH and will be giving you an update on the Paramount theme park project, Tim Waggett from the Port of Dover Western Docks Revival Project, Max Farrell from Farrell's and Professor Will Alsop of Garden Cities, and Building Information Modelling informative panel session. It's a fantastic knowledge gaining opportunity, and you can update your skills and your information by attending some of the free workshops. Meet the people that matter and make the right connections, and you can find out all about it by going to their website, which is kentconstructionexpo.co.uk. And talking about the Ebbsfleet Garden City, I was on the panel for the question time thing last week that was organised about Ebbsfleet Garden City. For those of you who don't know, there's a government proposal to build an entirely new garden city. I think it's the first new garden city built for about 40 years in the UK, and it's proposed to put it at Ebbsfleet in North Kent, just, you know, between Gravesend and the Midway Towns.
And what's the definition of a garden city?
Well, that was part
of the...
It was part of the heated debate, because I kept calling it a housing estate, and people kept getting annoyed with me. But basically, they're talking about building a mixed... This is the sales and marketing hype. There's 15,000 new homes to be built there in a mixed environment where there will be infrastructure, schools and doctors and... shops, yeah, and businesses and and stuff like that. It's very early stages yet. There needs a lot of infrastructure to go, because basically that area has got nothing in it at the moment.
Where was the other one? Was it Bristol when you said 20 years ago? Was that Bristol place?
I can't remember the last. Bristol, I mean, yeah, the famous ones are like Welland Garden City, yeah, and Milton, yeah, Keynes and things like
Milton
that.
Keynes, which, Garden City, yeah.
Yeah, but they were all built at the end of the Second World War to accommodate the fact that London was mostly rubble. So garden cities have kind of gone out of vogue a little bit, but because of the housing crisis in London, allegedly.
Yeah. What's that word for when you've got two words in the same phrase that are opposing? What's that
oxymoron
word? Oxymoron. Isn't that an oxymoron, a garden city?
Yeah. And funnily enough, that's exactly what I said. Yeah. And unfortunately, being a child of the 60s, I remember when they told us that about the flats they were building in the North End Road, Fulham, that are now a slum ghetto. But, you know, that's just been a little bit cynical. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it, but I think it needs a lot more looking at before we go ahead with things like that. Because, you know, I think imposing things top-down on people rather than organic. There was a really interesting guy...
Was that a pun?
Yeah. There was a really interesting guy there, Jay, I can't remember his surname, sorry, Jay, from New Form Energy. He was a Canadian guy who's a non-executive director. And he was talking about new builds and... self-build. And The UK apparently has the worst record on self-building in Western Europe, and the Dutch have the best.
Yeah.
And he was saying one of the beauty, you know, when you keep imposing things like this on people, you get row after row of cardboard boxes,
yeah,
eventually.
Yeah.
Whereas if people are allowed to self-build, you get, you know, a nice range of different things that suit different people.
Mm.
And, you know, coming back to the girls and their business, one of the things that we don't build houses for is for the future. As old people get, you know, as people spend more time on their own, we need housing that suits them on their own, and, you know, enables them to live good lives in their own homes. And we don't do enough of that. You know, we build just cardboard boxes. But anyway, so there's a lot happening. So get along to the Kent Construction Expo in October and have a look.
Yeah.
You can do another email if you want, Jo.
Oh, can I? Okay, I will do one about a fantastic opportunity. Can't even speak now. Fantastic opportunity for women who mean business. The SWIFT project, funded by the Government Equalities Office and run in partnership with ESCC and the local charity Sound Architect, aim to equip women in rural areas with the skills they need to start up a business or grow an existing one. It starts on the 1st of October at venues in Crowborough and Robertsbridge, and it consists of modular and flexible training sessions which focus on delivering IT and business and personal training. Sessions are completely free, and alongside the training, participants will also be able to attend regular peer-to-peer groups to share knowledge and experience with the support of a business mentor. So it's specifically targeted at women who are serious about developing their business idea or who are already in business and are committed to investing their time. It'll be grouped according to experience, and creche facilities are available if required. Places are limited though, and the deadline for applications is the 22nd of September. Contact Ruth Madison, which is Madison with two D's, .ruth@yahoo.co.uk, or phone 01273 337 377.
Fantastic. Helen Howard, who is the snail person, has tweeted a few tweets, but I think she's getting a bit fed up with our references to mutilating snails in one way or another, to be honest, which is cool. We got loads of tweets, so I haven't got time to read them out anymore. I've got this that I need to tell you about. We've already mentioned that there's a tweet up in Whitstable on the 18th. There's also a tweet up in Linley's, Roper Road, Canterbury, on Thursday the 25th of September from 10 a.m. That's Linley's furniture store in Roper Road, Canterbury. There's the Lenny's tweet up. I'm not sure who's speaking at that event, but they normally have a really good speaker. So do get along to that. Free on-site parking, Roper Road, Canterbury, Thursday the 25th of September, 10 a.m. Have you got anything urgent that needs reading?
Well, after that, you can go to the Brownies Networking at the Abbots Barton Hotel. £10 per person.
Fantastic.
And they've got a speaker, Matt Hudson of Business Computer Solutions.
Cool. Do you know what? I think we've reached the end of the show.
Oh, I'm sad.
I know.
See you in another year.
I know. So you see, I do invite you occasionally,
know,
and you always go, no, I can't make it, I'm busy.
Got a better offer.
Yeah. And I really miss little Dodsy's birthday this year.
Was
she 8?
She's 8 now.
Yeah, I miss that.
I know. She missed it too. Well, no, I mean, she didn't miss the birthday. She missed the radio show.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll have to come at Easter or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's time.
Anyway, it's been lovely to see you, Jo. I wish you the best of luck with your latest business venture.
Thank you all.
Yet another one.
Yes, I know. I'm nearly as entrepreneurial as you, Paul.
Almost.
But not quite.
That's good stuff. No, good luck with it, and thank you so much for helping out today. It's been absolutely lovely to see you. Thank you to our guests. Thank you, Peter Cook, for phoning in and telling us about his day spent with Sir Richard Branson yesterday. A massive, massive thank you to Natalie and Harriet for joining us on the show, coming all the way down here and telling us about their absolutely brilliant new business, Expertise Home Care. We wish them mega success. It's a fabulous idea. Only 3 weeks old, but I'm sure it's going to go from strength to strength to strength. So do stay in touch with us and let us know how it's going, and keep us up to date and tell us anything about what you're doing, because we'd love to share that journey with you, because it's brilliant. Really love what you're doing. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you
to all the listeners and all the businesses out there in the southeast of England, and for joining in, for tweeting us, for emailing us and all the rest of it. It's a bit warm in here, isn't it? Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Funk Show. Coming up on Channel Radio for the rest of the day at 3 o'clock, Mr. Kevin Cann with the Extra Milk Show. At 5 o'clock, the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery with the Craig Avery Show. Then at 7 o'clock, Beer, Birds, Balls and Bands. It's Phil and Jonathan down the pub. And then at 9 o'clock, 18 tracks of exquisite, hand-picked, handcrafted new music selected for your delight and enjoyment by Mr. Jamie Andrews on the New Potatoes Show. So do stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk for the rest of the day. But for the moment, I've been Paul Andrews. She's been Joe Dodds.
The famous Joe Dodds. I might be famous again now I'm back.
Exactly. The famous Joe Dodds. And thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunk Show. We will be back with you next week. Have a fabulous week.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.